Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. We're taking a bit of a break from Moses and the book of Exodus, but we'll get back to it after the first of the year. Colossians, chapter 1, and let's begin at verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would make it live for us today, that you would speak, that we would hear you. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard a story this week of a guy who decided to enliven his Thanksgiving celebration a little bit. Decided he would rather go hunting for his turkey than and get it in the normal way. So he got out his rifle and went hunting. Had a great time. In fact, everything worked perfectly, with one small exception. Turns out that in the wake of that adventure, he has been banned from Safeway for life. Yeah, well, sometimes Thanksgiving is like that. It doesn't quite turn out the way you expect. Thanksgiving shows up in a couple of ways in our scripture passage this morning. At the beginning, where Paul says, we always thank God when we pray for you. Excuse me. And towards the end, when we're told that part of what he desires to accomplish within us is that we be joyfully giving thanks. It's Christ the King Sunday, right? That always seems a little bit strange to me. Maybe this is the non-liturgical streak in me, I don't know. It seems to me that if we have a Christ the King Sunday, what was last week? Wasn't he king then? And what about next week? Isn't he going to be king then? He is king. He was king, he is king, he will be king next week. It's not a temporary thing. When I was growing up, there was a very popular afternoon TV show on, which some of you might be old enough to remember, called Queen for a Day. Care to date yourselves? A few of you, oh my goodness. It was really a terrible kind of a show. Hosted by Jack Bailey, who could have been a carnival barker. He had that kind of a voice. They'd bring on four ladies, each of whom would tell this terrible sob story of what they needed and why. And at the end, they'd judge who had the best story, and they judged this with an applause meter. Whoever got the loudest, and that person would be granted queen for a day, their wishes granted, and everything the advertisers and sponsors wanted to sell given to them and explained in great detail. Queen for a day. It's not that way with Christ. He is King. Now and forever. And we Americans are not used to the idea of relating to a king. Sort of stuck into our cultural DNA that kingship is not a good thing. And that's part of our history. Didn't we, as a nation, break away from a kingdom? Well, we did. But here we are, we Christians, stuck living in a kingdom where Christ is king. And I'm thankful he is. But if Christ is the king, then it seems to me that we who are subject to his rule need to understand a couple of things about the kingdom. And so for a few minutes this morning, two questions. Question one, what does a kingdom look like? And question two, what does it take to live in it, this kingdom? Question one first, though. This kingdom, what does it look like? We get some good hints to that early in this passage as the Apostle Paul addresses these people whom he calls saints, holy ones at Colossae, God's people. And he says, we thank God always when we pray for you. Because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, faith and love that spring from the hope that's stored up for you in heaven that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel. You saints have been made part of a kingdom, and it's a kingdom that Paul later describes towards the end of this passage as a kingdom of light. You have been transferred, moved from, brought out of a kingdom of darkness, and you've been brought into a kingdom of light, the kingdom of Christ, of the Son he loves. You know what that means? It means we don't get into the kingdom by right. It means we're not deserving of this kingdom. You might be deserving of an earthly kingdom. Several years ago, when I flew to the UK, I was clearing customs at Heathrow Airport and handed them my U.S. passport. And the customs official looked at it, looked at my birthplace, which said United Kingdom, and said, "Why aren't you traveling on a UK passport?" I could have been. Truth was, it was too expensive to do so. But I had a right to come into that country as a citizen. We don't have any right to the kingdom of light. Not of ourselves. We have been brought out of darkness into light. In effect, we are a kingdom of immigrants. Entry to the kingdom can't be earned, can't be bought. It's a gift. And I, as a resident of this kingdom, am a welcomed immigrant. All of us are. We don't understand that. Although heaven knows we ought to. We are a nation of immigrants. Don't believe that? Find a Native American and talk to them. They will help you understand that we are a nation of immigrants. I'm a first-generation immigrant to the United States. A proud citizen of this country now. But I understand that the United States didn't have to let me in. They chose to. I am a welcomed immigrant. As long as I've used that word, let me divert long enough to say something that I think probably needs to be said. This whole topic of immigration has become a political football these days. I don't quite understand why that should be the case for believers. Because if anybody ought to understand what immigration is all about, it is us. Because we are spiritual immigrants who have been welcomed. I had a lesson in that years ago when I was pastoring in California. Probably the most conservative lady in the church was a lady by the name of Mildred. Her husband had long since passed away. Her daughter was a missionary in Africa with her husband. Her grandson eventually would become a missionary with Wycliffe. But she was one conservative lady. So conservative, so straight-laced, that she told me one day, nicely, says, "You know, music at church, I could just kind of take it or leave it. Just want to get down to the meat of the stuff." I went over to visit her one day, and she introduced me to Lupi. I'd never met Lupi before and didn't know who Lupi was, but I soon found out. Lupi was an undocumented immigrant that this ultra-conservative lady had invited into her home as a resident. And I thought to myself, I'm having trouble putting this together. But Mildred understood something that I came to understand. She understood that she too was an immigrant, spiritual immigrant in the kingdom of God. Well, enough of the diversion. if I divert much longer, we'll never get through the passage, and that wouldn't be good. It's a kingdom of redemption. We have been redeemed. We have been brought from darkness into light. We've been bought back. And it behooves us, as residents of Christendom, to never forget that. It's His kingdom. Secondly, it's a kingdom of faith. That tells me that I have a king I can trust. Paul, writing to these Christians, says, "We've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." We've heard about it. In fact, that was the way this kingdom journey began for the Colossians. And that's the way it begins for us. With faith. With a choice to trust God. If you're here today, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, there was this time when you came to a point of decision. When you decided to trust the Lord with your life, with eternity, with your sin. You decided to trust Him with all of that. And you found out that He can be trusted. You've got a king who's trustworthy. There are a lot of kings around in this world that are not trustworthy. Lots of them. Christ is a king you can trust. That is as true today as it was the day you became a Christian. So don't quit trusting Him. Continue to be a person of faith, because that's what His kingdom looks like. It's a kingdom where people trust the King. I know that our culture devalues faith and values self-reliance. And that makes it harder for us. But we who are believers understand that though self-reliance is good, God-reliance is even better. And that's where faith comes in. And so the choice I have regularly, daily, is am I going to trust me? Or am I going to trust God? Because the reality is I'm going to trust someone. It's a kingdom of faith. It's also a kingdom of love. And that means I have relationships that I can enjoy. We've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. This kingdom that we've been transferred into, it's characterized by people loving people. Well, that's pretty radical, isn't it? Isn't it? It shouldn't be. Understand what the Bible means when it talks about this word, love. Greek is a more specific language than English is when it comes to love. And the word here used for love, the Greek word agape, has virtually nothing to do with feelings, virtually nothing to do with likability, and everything to do with commitment. Everything to do with commitment. The kingdom of Christ in which we live is a kingdom in which people ought to be committed to one another. Now, sometimes that is a hard thing to do, because it turns out that if Bob wants to be committed to me, he finds out pretty quickly that Malcolm is not always trustworthy. Malcolm's still a sinner. He might even discover there are things about Malcolm that he doesn't actually like. I don't think I'm going to ask you that question this morning, Bob, because I'm afraid you might answer it.
No, I'm not answering.
But because we're part of the same commitment, the same kingdom, we are committed. Those of you who are married understand or ought to understand something about this. You are committed to your spouse. There have been days when I venture to say the love between you might not have been real visible. I'm pretty certain that there have been days when that love was not real easy. But you are committed because you made a commitment. And it has been a commitment that is worthwhile. I hope it has been. Jesus Christ made a commitment to you, and he's going to keep it. You've made a commitment to him. And we live in this atmosphere of being able to love one another, to commit ourselves to one another. The denomination of which we are a part uses an interesting term for church membership. We don't call them church members. We call them covenant partners. It's a good term, because it reflects the reality of what loving one another is all about. We have made an agreement, a commitment. It's also a kingdom of hope. As someone that lives in this kingdom, I've got a future I can look forward to. A future to anticipate. I know that there have been for you, for all of us, situations that you have experienced where hope has died. I kind of told you about one of those earlier this week for me, in the wake of two resignations. I want to remind you that hope is not just about the future. There's a now element to it. And you need to be able to enjoy that as well. Because it turns out that the gospel of Jesus Christ makes a difference in my life now, as well as for all eternity. It's not just a case of I am going to be brought out of the kingdom of darkness. I have been brought out of the kingdom of darkness. And I have hope. Well, quickly, I need to get on to that second question or we won't get to it. Living in the kingdom. What do I need to do it? Paul says I need to please the king. We've not stopped praying for you, he says, and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. What I need in order to live successfully within Christ's kingdom is the ability to please the king. Wouldn't that be true of any kingdom? I need to please the king. So what pleases the king? Apostle Paul helps us out. He does it with four participial phrases here. Bearing fruit, he says. Bearing fruit in every good work. Fruit bearing pleases Christ. What does it mean to bear fruit as a Christian? Three things. It means you're a productive person. It means your life is producing what it's supposed to produce. An apple tree produces apples, a pear tree produces pears. We produce fruit. What does it look like? It may take the form of other Christians. There is reproductive fruit in Scripture. Christians bringing into the kingdom other Christians. And there's also this wonderful list in Galatians 5 of spiritual fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things that God's Spirit seeks to grow in our lives. Is that happening? That pleases the King. Now, for most of my life as a Christian, when people have talked to me about bearing fruit, they've told me I need to do it because it's good for me. And they're right, it is. I'm telling you something different this morning. You need to do it because it's good for Him. If there were no other reason than that it pleases the King, that is reason enough. Bearing fruit. Growing in the knowledge of the King. Getting to know Him better. I need to know Him better. Do you know Him well enough? Do you know the King? How do you get to know someone? How do you get to know someone? Spend time with them. If you're going to grow in the knowledge of the King, you've got to spend time with the King. Got to spend time with the Lord. Gaining strength. Everybody likes to be stronger. Being strengthened with all power, Paul says, according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. Gaining strength for endurance and gaining strength for patience. Those might not be the things that I want to gain strength for, but that was Paul's prayer. That was what he had in mind. And more to the point, that's what pleases the King. And one last one. Joyfully giving thanks. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Taking thanksgiving beyond last Thursday. Making it a way of life. Why? Because I've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness and I've been brought into the kingdom of Christ's light. He has made a difference. If you're part of the kingdom, may God help you to please the King. And if you're not part of the kingdom, may God give you the courage to say yes to him, because he's invited you to be a part of it. At the conclusion of the service, there will be prayer team members up front. It's their privilege to pray for you, should you so desire. It would be their privilege as well to help you take that first step into the kingdom if you've never taken it. It would be their privilege to encourage you to let Christ be king. Lord, you are king, and that means we aren't. It's not a political kingdom we're looking for, Lord. It's not deliverance here on earth. It's your reign in our lives. And we invite you afresh this morning. Lord, reign in us. Build your kingdom in the people we are. Build your kingdom in the fellowship of this congregation. Be our King. In Jesus' name, amen.